Today being the 26th of March, I want to share something with you here that you're going to be looking at today. You have read this verse many, many times. The book of Isaiah, chapter 53. We're going to look at it today from Isaiah chapter 52, verse 13. And we're going to go all the way through Isaiah chapter 53. But for the next couple Sundays, up through Resurrection Sunday, we're going to be out of this chapter, basically. And I'm going to be showing you some different things. But one of the things I want you to see today is found here in verse number 5. Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 5. The Bible said here, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." The title of the lesson this morning is "The Unjust Suffering of Messiah." And I know that there are a lot of folks that use this Bible verse, the one that we're using as our theme verse for today, in a way that is not scripturally correct. I know there's TV evangelists and these prosperity preachers and stuff like that that always talk about how that when Jesus died on the cross, I had someone that argued with me about this. It wasn't talking about sin. It was talking about our physical health and our spiritual prosperity. You know, by his stripes we're healed and all this other stuff. Folks, if you look at this whole book of the book of Isaiah, last week we studied how that the first half of the book of Isaiah, God is denouncing the sin and the rebellious attitudes of his people, the Jews, the people of Israel. And now he is introducing to them God's means of spiritually restoring them, healing them in a spiritual manner. And I want you to look at this morning. In the lesson, God instructed Isaiah to foretell what Messiah was going to go through and what he was coming to do. He was coming as a suffering servant. He came to minister, not to be ministered unto. He came for a purpose. And that purpose was to make the way for you and for me to be saved, our sins to be forgiven, and a right relationship with God to be restored that was taken away from Adam and from Eve there in the Garden of Eden. When they succumbed to the temptations of Satan, the devil stole everything. He stole dominion that they had been given upon this earth. He stole joy. He stole everything, and sin brought in a wall of separation between sinful man and holy God. And the children of Israel, and as you can read all the way through these chapters, as God blessed and strengthened them and provided for their every needs, yet they chose to rebel against God more and more and more. And it broke God's heart. And the account of things to come concerning Messiah, it had nothing, and I want to say this again, it had nothing to do with physical health, wealth, and prosperity. And I want you to understand that today. That's not what Messiah came into this world for. Listen, you know today if you live for Christ, things go wrong. There are health issues. There are money problems. We're looking today, man, at banks closing and all kinds of things because of sin, sinful people, wealth. And listen, you can die with a healthy body and a big bank account, but that doesn't mean that you're going to go to heaven when you die. And the reason that Jesus came as the Messiah was to provide for us spiritual healing that sin had taken away. He came to do that. All that God had Isaiah to say here to Israel, to the Jewish people, regarding their sinful state in the first half of this book, as well as the things that God is having Isaiah foretell about Messiah. And when you read this, you're thinking, Isaiah must be looking at this. But God opened up his mind, his heart, to see those things which would come to pass some 700 plus years later, when Isaiah was off the scene. And Isaiah speaks of these things as if he is looking at them now. But he said what he said, and he deals specifically here with what it took for you and for me to have spiritual health restored to our sin-sick soul. Something that we could not do on our own. Now listen, today I want us to look at this thing. Because when we look at, and this theme verse here, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5, I picked the song that we sang today because I want you to understand no one ever cared for me like Jesus. No one. No one ever cared for you like Jesus. And that's why we live for Him. That's why we serve Him. That's why we honor Him through the Word of God. And I want you to understand that as we look at this theme verse this morning, God had Isaiah tell his people that when Messiah came, he would come for one purpose. And that one purpose, Jesus himself stated in Matthew chapter 18, verse number 11. And it's no wonder that this verse is taken out of the new perversions of the Bible. This verse is totally taken out. They take it totally out. Because Jesus states within that verse his purpose for coming to this earth. What was that purpose? He came to save, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came for one purpose, folks. It wasn't to make you rich. It wasn't to give you the healthiest body. I heard a pastor this past week. I had somebody from down in North Carolina sent me a link. Wanted me to listen to their church's broadcast because they were going to be having a healing service, you know, during this time. And I thought, you know what? All the folks I visited this week and Pastor Holbrook has visited this week, why don't they send them to the hospitals? Why don't they send these folks, if that's really what's going on, why don't they send them to the hospital? Why don't they come over there, Brother John, and take care of that granddaughter that's going to be having surgery tomorrow at Johns Hopkins for cancer in her bones? Why don't they do those things? Because it's not of God, folks. And you listen to me today, God can heal, and God does heal. We've watched it. We have seen it happen. We've seen God answer prayer time and time again. But Jesus did not die on the cross to give us the physical healing. He died on the cross to restore our sin-sick soul and to give us eternal healing that we could be able to spend with God in heaven and not be separated by our sin from Him in hell. Now, I just want you to understand that this morning. Never forget that the divine pardon of sin and restoration to favor with God, I don't want you to ever forget that it's often overlooked in our world today. Because our world is looking at the physical things. They don't see the spiritual things. They're not seeing those things. But listen to me today. I want you to understand. God sent His Son. He sent Messiah into this world because He loved us in spite of our sin. And He wanted us to be able to spend eternity with Him. So never forget that divine pardon. And never forget that when Jesus walked on this earth, He did what He did. The miracles that He did were there to prove who He said He was. And even the Pharisees made the comments that no one but God could do what Jesus did. And yet, They denied him. They rejected him. And this is what Isaiah is speaking of, especially in these chapters. And we're going to look at that over the next several Sundays. So I want us to look at this in the light of God's Word and how God speaks to our hearts through His Word. But I want us to look at it in the right way. And I want you to understand why God was doing what He was doing here today, okay? Does that make sense to you? All right. So we're going to look at this verse today. I want you to understand that when Satan first appeared to Eve there in the Garden of Eden, he appeared to her to try to make her think that God was not giving her all the truth. And if she would just disobey God and look at that fruit and see how good it looked and how it would make her wiser, it would open up her eyes. Boy, it was just going to be something great if she would just do what he was telling her to do. I want you to understand, he lied to her. He lied to Adam. Adam chose to disobey. Adam was there when God said, "Don't eat of that fruit." And yet he chose to disobey God. And folks, today the devil wants to do the same thing. He wants to deceive people. And he wants to take away the emphasis of God's Son coming into this earth. God's emphasis was that you and I might be saved. Now, I believe with all my heart that Satan knows his days are numbered. And that's why he is fighting more and more to deceive people, to do it. And he's doing it through churches. He's doing it through mega churches and all this other stuff. I listened to some of the stuff yesterday. I was trying to just get my understanding of what's going on in this world. I've gotten to the point, folks, I don't watch the news anymore. I just don't watch it. I hate to sound like a nut, but I get so mad. My blood pressure goes up real high like that. And I just want to mess up a good TV that I can still sit and watch cartoons on and everything else. And I don't want to do that. So I just don't watch the news anymore. But I was watching something through the YouTube channel, and it was talking about how these new mega churches are growing and the messages that they are preaching. And I watched some of these folks as they said, "We don't speak about sin, and people are already having a bad enough time in the world, so we don't talk to them about sin. We're here to lift them up and help them to be the best that they could be." And how that now those men, okay, that are called the pastors, now they and their wives are the pastors of their churches now. They and their wives are the pastors. And now many of those women are preaching more than the men are. And they're drawing a bigger crowd than some of the men are. Now, I could probably tell you why that is. They look a whole lot better than some of those guys do. And you know what? The way that some of those folks were dressed on that YouTube video, I sure didn't think about Jesus when I saw those women preaching. It wasn't Jesus you was thinking about. And folks, it's a sad situation in our world.
Yes, it is.
Because this is the message that's going to change lives. And God wanted Isaiah to preach to the people and tell them what Messiah was coming to do for them, so that they would see God's love for them and repent of their sin and turn back unto God. And yet the people sinned more and more. Messiah was wounded. He was beaten. He was scourged. And he was crucified because of our transgressions and sins. Don't ever forget that. He did what he did for you and for me. And you know what? Out of a grateful heart, we ought to do all that we do for him because of what he did for us. Amen? That's our way of saying thank you to him. So I want you to look at this today. 700 years before it all happened, Isaiah's words paint the picture. They paint the portrait of what Messiah would come into this world to do, not only for the Jewish people, but for all the Gentile world. He came for one purpose. And my goodness, what cruel and unjust suffering Messiah endured so that you and I could be saved. We never need to forget it. Now let's look at the lesson this morning. I want you to see the description of Messiah's suffering and how Isaiah foretold these things. Look at what the Bible said. Isaiah chapter 52, verse 13, we're going to start today. And it's going to go all the way through Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 12. In these pictures and portraits of things to come about Messiah, Isaiah foretells not only his physical suffering and pain, but he describes how that Messiah would suffer in different ways. He suffered, number one, he suffered socially. You would think that if someone was come to help you with something, that he would be welcomed with open arms, okay? He would be welcomed and loved and adored by everyone who heard him. But he wasn't. And I want you to look here in these verses. Long before Messiah was ever even born upon this earth, the scriptures described how that God had been rejected and despised by his own people, the Jews. God had been rejected and despised. They chose to worship the pagan idols of the nations around them. They chose to turn away from the very God who brought them water out of the rock and quail across the wilderness and manna from heaven for 40 years straight. God fed them, provided for them. He delivered them out of the hands of the Egyptians, out of bondage. He took care of their every need. And you look back at this social rejection of God and his ways, Isaiah himself would write in the very first chapter, in the very first two verses, Isaiah would write these words. He'd say, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider." Oh, sinful nation. A people laden with iniquity. A seed of evildoers. Children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. And if you go over to Isaiah chapter 30, verse number 9, Isaiah would write this about the Jewish people. He said that this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord. They chose to do what they did in rebelling against God. They socially rejected God. No wonder Isaiah himself now writes in Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 1. All these times Isaiah had preached and told them, you need to turn away from your sin. God still loves you. God wants to bless you. God wants to do something great for you. And all these times, Isaiah comes to Isaiah chapter 53. We have it broken down in chapters. And he writes these words. He says, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" Folks, they were without excuse. They knew what they had done. Isaiah had preached to them and told them. And he said back in chapter 1, and again, I'm giving you different verses because I want you to understand why Isaiah is writing these words. God had him write these words. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 5, he said, "Why should you be stricken anymore? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint." You know what they needed? They needed a spiritual awakening. They needed a spiritual healing that they could not find in the things that they were doing. And because of that, God said, "Hey, I'm going to do something that you're not going to believe." But Isaiah asked that question, "Who's believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" And in verse number 3, he foretells the social rejection even of the Messiah to come. Look what he said in verse 3, chapter 53, verse number 3. He writes these things as if he were watching it through the mind of God. And he says, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not." This promised Messiah, God's own suffering son, would be rejected socially and would become known as a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. That is not the way you would expect God in the flesh to be welcomed into this earth. But that's what happened. But not only was he rejected socially, he was rejected physically. He suffered physically. Look at verse 14 in Isaiah chapter 52. Isaiah 52, 14, he writes here, again, as if he were beholding the body, the face of Messiah at the very moment all this is happening. He said, "As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men." Now you think about 700 plus years before it happens, Isaiah is saying, this is how you're going to treat Messiah. The suffering, the unjust suffering of Messiah. You say, "Preacher, did it really happen that way?" Turn with me to the book of Matthew just a minute. Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. Matthew here is going to write of how they will have Messiah scourged and severely beaten before the very eyes of all the people. And look what he says, beginning in verse number 26. Matthew chapter 27, verse 26. "Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified." But folks, it didn't stop there. On the way to the cross, look at what happened. "Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers." A band was 1/10 of a legion, and a legion was anywhere between 4,000 and 6,000 soldiers. So a band of soldiers was somewhere between 400 and 600 men. And they all took Jesus, one man, into the common hall. And the Bible said they gathered unto him the whole band and they stripped him. Now you think about this. They stripped him. And the Bible said, and they put on him a scarlet robe. Now this is after he has been beaten to a pulp. He's bleeding profusely. He doesn't look like a man from the beatings. They strip him. They put on him a scarlet robe. And when they planted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spit upon him. 400 to 600 men buffeting him, spitting upon him. You listen to me, folks. When we look at Living Cross and we see the portrayal of what Jesus went through, it is nothing compared to the reality of what Messiah suffered for you and for me to have salvation. The Bible said, and they spit upon him. And they took the reed and they smote him on the head. Now think about it. He's got a crown of thorns on his head. And they smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took off the robe from him and put his own raiment on him. And they led him away to crucify him. And folks, if you'll remember, the Bible talks about how that when they got him to the cross, the soldiers took his garments and they cast lots for them to see who would have his seamless coat and his beautiful clothes. They cast lots for a dead man's clothes. And Jesus hung there on that cross for some 6 hours, naked, beaten, spit upon, despised and rejected of men. And Isaiah wrote here, verse number 14, that his visage, the face, his countenance, the very appearance of the Messiah, his visage was so marred. And that word marred means destroyed or ruined. It was so marred, more than any man, and his form than the sons of men. Can you imagine this sort of cruelty displayed upon one man? And all the people are there watching all that. And as God opened the spiritual eyes of Isaiah of what was going to befall Messiah for their sakes, for his people's sakes, the Spirit of God moved upon him to write in chapter 53, verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. Isaiah is trying to tell his people, this is what Messiah is going to go through. And people are saying, well, why would he have to go through that? And Isaiah tells them why. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Do you see this now in the light of context? Do you see how that God is trying to get them to understand this has nothing to do with your physical well-being and your wealth and health and all this other mess? This is God telling his people that even though I know right now what you're going to do against Messiah, I still love you. And I want to change your life. And I want to heal the sin-sick soul that lives within your body. And I want you to be with me in heaven. That's how much God loved them. And that's how much God loves you and me today. It was for me. It was for you that Messiah was so treated. It was for you and for me. And Isaiah is telling him, listen, this is what God is going to do for us. Even though we are sin-sick people, God still wants us to have the way of being cured of our sin sickness. And God is about to do something here. God uses his faithful servant Isaiah to show all those who read this book and read this chapter all that God was willing to do for them, that they might be saved. Folks, it would do you and I good today to go back and read this in context and see how it applies to you and I as well. We're no different than the Jewish people were. And I hope you can see that today. The stripes that were laid on him as they scourged him that day shall forever remain evidence of God's love for us. Do you remember when Jesus rose from the dead? And Thomas is in the upper room and he's hearing the disciples say, we've seen him, we know he's alive. And Thomas says, until I see the nail prints in his hand until I thrust my hand into his side. I will not believe. And Jesus appears in his resurrected body. And he says, Thomas, touch me. Feel me. And be not faithless. And Thomas, you never read in there where Thomas touched him, put his fingers in the print of the nails, or thrust his hand into his side. The Bible said that Thomas fell at his feet and he said, my Lord and my God. And folks, those scars are the only things that's going to be in heaven that's ever been made by man. The scars that we placed upon the Savior. And then Isaiah goes on to write in verses 6 and 7 of how, because all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord had laid on him, Messiah, the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. The just suffering for the unjust. This is the picture that God wanted Isaiah to place before the eyes of this sin-sick nation of people. And this is the picture that you and I need to see today so that we will see and understand just how much God truly cares for us. Oh, how much he cared for me. That's what the song said. But not only did Messiah suffer socially and physically, but he also suffered himself emotionally. Have you ever been rejected by someone? Someone comes to you and says, I don't love you anymore. I don't care for you. I don't want to be around you. I've had that. And you know what? It rips something out of your insides. Can you imagine that? Not only did Jesus suffer socially, being rejected by the people, not only did he suffer physically, but he suffered emotionally. And look what Isaiah said. The Bible said here, while being nailed to the cross, his beaten and naked body was being openly displayed to all the people that would come around to see. And in verse 12, Isaiah writes how the holy and sinless Lamb of God was numbered with the transgressors. He had done nothing wrong. Have you ever been accused of doing something wrong and you didn't do it? And man, you know you didn't do it. And it just tears you up. It is gut-wrenching. It just tears you up on the inside that somebody would even accuse you of something like that. That's the way Jesus had been treated. The Bible said here, he had been made to be like one of those who were found guilty of sin and who were hanging on those crosses in punishment for their sin. Now think about it. But when Messiah did all this, look at what the verse says, but he bare the sin of many, and he made intercession for the transgressors. Do you understand what Jesus did? Even though he was suffering emotionally, even though he was being rejected, he came for one purpose, and that was to bear the sin of many and make intercession for transgressors. And perhaps the most emotionally charged moment for Isaiah was when God showed him the fact and how that he now showed his own sinful and rebellious people how the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. God took all the sin that Israel had committed against God. He took all the sin that you and I would commit against him. And he laid it all upon his own son as if he were guilty. He made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Does that make sense to you today? This is what Jesus did for us. And while all these things were happening, In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, his soul was literally made an offering for sin. Verse number 6, Isaiah 53. While all these things only seem to show us the unjust suffering Messiah for you and for me, Isaiah then writes in chapter 53, verses 10 through 12, he said, yet, in spite of it all, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. How could it please God to put such suffering, such shame upon his own dear son? Look what the Bible verses say. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he, God, shall see his seed, Jesus. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. When God sees the suffering that his son does for you and for me, God will say, son, I'm satisfied. And Jesus will look up to his Father in heaven, and he'll say, Father, it is finished. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. Why? Because he did what he came to do for you and for me. And look what else he said. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. You know what it means to be justified? It means for God to see us just if I had never sinned. Amen? Justified. Made whole. For he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great. And he shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors. And he bare the sin of many. And made intercession for the transgressors. While suffering upon that cross, as the darkness veiled the light of day, for 3 hours, while Jesus is on that cross, from noon until the ninth hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the skies were darkened when God turned his back on his own son. When God laid your sins and my sins upon him and turned his back away, even the light fled the earth. And the Lord Jesus looked up into heaven and he said about the ninth hour, Matthew chapter 27, verse 46. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was rejected by his own father. Because God could not look upon the sin. Your sin. My sin. Can you imagine the emotional agony of Messiah? But I want you to understand something. He did it for you and for me. Now Isaiah challenges his people. As you and I need to be challenged today. And we need to consider something today. The injustice of Messiah's suffering. Look at it with me. I want you to see, first of all, the innocency of the victim. One can understand such punishment being divvied out upon somebody that deserved it, but God's son did not deserve it. And the Bible said here in verse number 7, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. And he went on to explain in verse number 9. Look at it. He had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Can you see the innocency of Messiah here? Even Herod, even Pilate, said, I find no fault in him. And yet they turned him over to those that wanted to kill him. His innocence. But I want you to see the irregularities of the trials that he went through. Look at this morning. in Matthew chapter 26, verses 59 through 63, and over in the whole chapter of John chapter 18, we see how that Jesus faced many false accusations. He faced accusations that nobody could, the witnesses didn't even agree with one another. And they threw it all out. And yet, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 8, he was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. That's what Isaiah is telling them. For your transgressions, for my transgressions, he was stricken. And as Messiah, Jesus Christ, stood before the people that day, he found no justice that could deliver him from what he was about to go through. And yet, all of that was in God's plan for you, for me, for the world to come to know him as their Savior. It was for me he died. I want you to see the reason real quickly for Messiah's suffering. Number one, it was to expose the erroneous conclusions of men. Look at verse 53. Isaiah 53, verse 3. Isaiah writes here how Messiah was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. They chose to reject him as they esteemed him not, meaning they chose not to highly regard him as the Son of God, let alone give him honor and glory as being the promised Messiah that had been foretold that he would come and do all this for the people. And none of these things change them, nor will it change today the eternal plan that Messiah has for you and for me. God's eternal plan was that as he hung upon that cross and he observed all the railings and accusations that were thrown against him, Dr. Luke writes this in Luke 23, verse 34. Then said Jesus, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." The Messiah had a plan. And Messiah had proved himself to be exactly who he said he would be through the scriptures and through the determinate foreknowledge of God. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It pleased the Lord to put him to grief. It pleased the Lord to lay on him the iniquity of us all and to make his soul an offering for sin. All because, why? All because God so loved the world. And he was not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The unjust suffering of Messiah. It was for you, and it was for me. And Isaiah said, folks, it's for our benefit. It's for us that he's going to come and do this. Folks, today I really think that we need to take heart and we need to take time to study the Word of God so that we can see and fully understand just how much God truly loves us today. He loves you. He wants you to serve him. And listen, if you're here today and you do not know Christ as your Savior, man, I would beg you, I would plead with you, consider what Messiah came to do for you and receive him today as your own personal Savior. Child of God, Conquerors class member, listen, if you've been truly born again, just reading this one chapter in the light of the reality of what happened, it ought to make us love him more and more than we've ever loved him before. Let's choose to do that today. Father, I love you today. And Lord, as I thought and I studied and I prepared for the lesson today, God, you just made it more and more clear and plain of your love for me. And Lord, I want to ask you, God, to help me now because of what you did for me. Help me, dear God, to love you more than I've ever loved you before. Help me, God, never to forget just how much you care. And Lord, I pray that if there's anyone listening to the sound of my voice today that does not know you, that, oh God, they'll see how much you care for them and they'll come to know you today as their own personal Savior. Bless us now, Lord, as we go into the service. And I pray, God, that our hearts will be strengthened and encouraged to live for you and to serve you. And we'll thank you, God, for what you do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you today. Thank you for being in Sunday school.